Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Biz Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. where we talk to a lot of great people in the world of sports business. Tonight we have an outstanding guest, fabulous basketball coach, really, really fine person, equally in Mako Hamilton, who's into, I believe, his second year at George Fox University in beautiful Newburgh, Oregon. Mako always brings it on this program when he comes on, a great guest, and looking forward to talking to him. But, of course, I am Gregory Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. That's with one C, WC Hoops. And then at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. And I want to also mention before we start talking with Mako that coming up on December 2nd is once again our quarterly NoHo Sports Lunch. If you haven't been to this, you really need to attend. We don't have a closed lunch. It's open to anyone. It's held at NoHo's Hawaiian, 4635 Northeast Fremont in Portland, Oregon, in the beautiful Beaumont district there. And definitely we want to see you there. We open the doors at 10:30. Stay as long as you want. Come when you want. It's actually a place. And don't forget NoHo's other restaurant down at 26th and Clinton, which is about six blocks or so north of where I went to high school, and very proud of the fact that I went to Cleveland High School, which was so much fun to be at Cleveland High School, and it's great memories, and I got a great education there, too. I'm very proud of that. But speaking of a great education, you'll get one at George Fox University, and part of that product that you'll get there involves Mako Hamilton, the outstanding men's basketball coach there, and a pleasure to have him on again, and we'll have him on often again during the basketball season. Mako, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing good, Greg. Thanks for having me on again, man. It's good to talk to you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. You're a great guest, great person. Love having you on. And Mako, have you ever been to my high school, Cleveland High School?
Yeah, I've been to Cleveland High School. Multiple times actually. I've gone there. Shoot, I remember going there back when I was a high school student, watching some good PIL basketball, and went there as a high school coach, playing some summer league games. So yeah, I've been in that gym on a few different occasions.
And Mako, this is not the good old days story, but I lived way in deep Selwood, right on the border with Milwaukee. And often I'd walk to school and walk home, and nothing wrong with that. I had great parents, but I just like to walk. So when those people talk about walking 5 miles one way to school, I did it.
That's awesome, yeah. That's a great area. I used to actually deliver pizzas in the Selwood area when I was in high school. My aunt and uncle owned a pizza business there, so I know the territory pretty well over there.
Oh, my gosh, I lived on Marion Street, Mako, so you obviously know where that was.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's a great area.
Very good. Hey, how are things shaping up? And I know tomorrow night on the Crawford on B-Ball show, I'm going to have on Coach Hayford, and I think you're going up to play him pretty soon, right?
Yeah, we are headed up there this weekend, so we'll be going to battle with the Eagles on Sunday late afternoon. So we're excited for that. Obviously, it's going to be a tremendous challenge for us, but also a great opportunity, and our kids are excited. So yeah, things have been going well. We're battling here these first few weeks, and our guys are doing a really good job of working hard, and they're getting more and more comfortable in our schemes. And so we're really pleased with our group and what they're bringing to the table each and every day.
Mako, I've been around the game so long, I'm not so naive that I don't know You're only as good as your last performance. But this time of year, is there a point where you say, yeah, we're kind of where we need to be, even though we always got to get better?
You know, I haven't experienced that yet, and I don't believe I will this year because we're such a young team. You know, I think you might get that more often when you have a veteran group that's experienced and has kind of been through the battles a little bit. So for us, really, it's I don't think we're close to reaching our potential on a consistent level. And I'd be very shocked if we do at any point this year. I mean, because of our youth and experience. But what we're really looking for from our guys this year is just a consistent effort in terms of their mental preparation and their physical commitment to what we're doing. Those are things that they can control on a daily basis. And as they get more comfortable playing at this level and playing in our system, then over time we will see them consistently reach their potential as individuals.
And for our listeners, Mako Hamilton, our very special guest tonight, was a highly successful coach at Union High School in Southwest Washington before moving on to George Fox. Mako, what is a couple big differences from high school basketball, besides the obvious, of moving on to college at any level, especially the Division III level?
Well, there are several, but I think a few that stand out. First and foremost, high school basketball is great and there's some great players, but at the collegiate level, there's four or five guys on the floor at every moment in the game that are threats to do something to you on the offensive end. At the high school level, you could really, scheme heavily around a couple guys. And as I've learned these first couple of years, you obviously have to be really solid in your schemes, but it really just comes down to talent is a huge part of it. So that's been an adjustment. Obviously the second thing is the season is longer. It's a little bit more of a grind. So you have to really manage your athletes, not only just in terms of what you do in practice and things like that, but just how they're taking care of themselves outside of the gym. And that's a really important piece that I think, a lot of great programs emphasize. And then the third thing, guys are just a little bit more, a little older, a little bit more mature. And so, that just has its different battles as well. When you're coaching high school, you're dealing with 16 and 17-year-old teenagers. And at the collegiate level, guys are a little bit older and a little bit more mature. And so that has its different circumstances as well.
Very good. When I got out of that Cleveland High School and went on to attend the dreaded Linfield College, I hope everybody can laugh out there, but which I thoroughly enjoyed. It was such a big adjustment, even in and I started at Linfield in the late 60s academically for me, even though I was pretty well prepared at Cleveland. That's got to be an adjustment for your players coming in from high school as well with the strong academics that George Fox has and we all know about.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, I think it doesn't matter how successful you are at the high school level as a student academically. Going to an institution of higher education is going to be a challenge. And it's just different. I mean, their days are structured different. Guys have, they don't have as much freedom because their commitment to basketball or their sports is greater. But there's, they're not sitting in a class for 6 hours a day like they do at the high school level. And their days are a little different. Each day looks a little bit different. So there's no question that every student is challenged with that, just learning how to balance time and prioritize. And then you throw in the fact that, especially at our institution, that the rigor of the academic curriculum is a lot higher than what they're used to. So they're stressed a little bit in terms of how they study and the amount of time that they have to study. So it absolutely is a huge adjustment for the young guys who make that transition from high school to college.
Mako, I'd like to hear your thoughts being a successful coach like you are in a basketball mind. Within the last couple months, Bill Russell, the great Bill Russell, Hall of Fame players come out and said it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has said it. Jerry West has said it. Rick Barry said it. He says, today often young people are playing too much basketball. They need to rest those bodies a little more. What's your thought on that?
You know, I think you look at it, you know, a couple different ways. I think obviously, you know, a time ago, a decade or more, you know, kids were more apt to doing multiple sports. They were, you know, more apt to kind of just make up games, play with the neighborhood kids, do things for fun, and I think that's great. Now you see it's different, you know, obviously with the boom of AAU sports and particularly in basketball, you know, young men are playing year-round. They go right from their high school season right to the AAU season and back and forth. And so there's absolutely a toll on the body that takes place. I do think it's good for the guys to play. I mean, that's how skill, you know, you develop skill. That's how you develop an aptitude for the game. But, yeah, you know, those guys are absolutely right. It definitely wears out the body, and I think that happens. But on the flip side, you know, I will say maybe the advantage that we didn't have, you know, decades ago is the information, the education, and then the resources for taking care of your body, whether it be nutrition, whether it be recovery, stretch routines, you know, just things like that that are a part of that process, I think are very huge. And so I think, you know, what happens now is kids need to adjust. So if they're playing more, then they need to do a better job of taking care of their bodies. And there's absolutely a lot of tools out there for that. It's just a matter of them taking advantage of those things.
Mikko, I'm not saying this because I'm talking to you, because I felt this way for a long time. The location of George Fox, Newburgh, Oregon, is almost perfect for a small college setting in town. It's rural enough that you get the serenity, but it's urban enough, being 35, 40 minutes from the 17th largest metropolitan area in the United States, Portland, Oregon. Kind of get the best of both worlds at times.
No, you absolutely do. I think that's one of the things that's very unique. I do love our setting. You know, we're far enough away, removed away from the city that it's a safe, you know, safe and free of distractions, and I think parents love that. But yet it's close enough that if you know, we get a kid from a major city, that they're not too far away from experiencing, you know, just the benefits and the luxuries of a metropolitan city like Portland. Obviously, Newburgh is a beautiful town. It's a small and you know, very quiet community, very safe, and you know, and I love the fact that we're also, you know, an hour away from the Oregon coast. We're an hour and a half away from Corvallis and Eugene. You know, where there's, you know, major universities that our kids can go and watch football games and things like that. So we really like where we're located. We're close enough to all the perks that you get in the state of Oregon, and that's a really, really cool thing.
We're speaking with Mikko Hamilton tonight, the head men's basketball coach at George Fox University, doing a terrific job there and going to do a terrific job as long as he's there, and they're really talented Northwest Conference. Mikko, without giving away your trade secrets, which I never would want anyone to do, but when you're out evaluating talent that you hope will come to George Fox, either the high school or the junior college level, what are some of the things you're looking at for a player that you want to play for you?
Well, I mean, I think first of all, we're trying to identify their skill level and their skill level as we feel, which fit into what we're doing schematically. You know, the second thing is you want to just make sure you want to evaluate how hard the kid plays, if they demonstrate toughness physically and mentally, if they're able to battle through some adversity. You know, you're definitely looking at their character, you know, how they handle difficult moments, how they handle successes, how they handle being coached, you know, how are they with their teammates. So you're trying to evaluate a lot of different things, you know, some intangible things, as well as, you know, some of those things that are definitely demonstrated in terms of their skill level and their talents. And so, you know, those are the things that we really try to hit on when we're out evaluating, and then we try to get a good feel for the guys on that.
I've often, I'm not name dropping here, but very close friends with Stan Love, Kevin's dad, and also John Spoelstra, Eric's dad, coach of the Miami Heat, and John and Stan always talked about the quality of basketball in the state of Oregon, and the quality of coaching is really good, and in Southwest Washington, I might add as well. But what's missing maybe on the skill level with some players nowadays? Was it this mid-range shooting? I've often thought we don't see a lot of great passers of the basketball anymore.
Yeah, after the game is evolving. When I was playing, a couple decades ago, offenses were really predicated on how you use screens, how you come off the screen, do you curl it, do you flare it, and can you shoot the ball? And now the game has evolved to where it's more based on guys making plays with the ball in their hands, how they can attack off the dribble, how they use ball screens. I don't feel like there's a deficit in skill. What I think you sometimes see is kids aren't always, just comfortable just playing together, just using their feel for the game, using their basketball IQ. I think those are the things that are missing. And another thing, and I think this is just a kind of a generational change, is kids aren't as imaginative as they used to be with all the different tools and technology that they have. It's kind of limited that or taken that away. And so I think that's the biggest thing that I've witnessed over my time coaching is that, I remember when I was growing up, Greg, I can't tell you how many Final Fours I played in, how many one-on-one battles I had with Michael Jordan or Gary Payton, and no, I wasn't really playing against those guys, but that's what I imagined. And I think that really helped me with my basketball aptitude and just my understanding of the game, and kids don't do that. And so I think that's the biggest thing that's missing. Not so much skill. I think the skill and the level of what kids can do now is at an all-time high, and you see it at the highest level. But I just think it's those other things from a mental standpoint that is missing a little bit.
I'm going to talk about your team in just a second, but one more follow-up to kind of this topic. It's pretty amazing, Mako, that the one thing that really stands out since 1964 on the Division I level, at least, total average of free throw shooting has cracked the 70% mark. It's gone as high as 69 and as low as 65, but never have we hit that free throw shooting combined of all the teams. That's pretty amazing, because you think about it, you're there by yourself, a good chance to concentrate, but it just is an issue getting those free throws down.
No, it is. And I think it's something that I don't know if people put in the time. It's something that you have to be very patient and very repetitive. And I think sometimes when kids get in the gym, they're antsy, they want to do other things. But at the same time, too, what you can't simulate in those situations is the pressure when you step up to the line and there's other bodies around the lane and there's people in the stands. I think that's a whole other thing that goes through your mind mentally. And obviously, you want to be able to train yourself. You kind of going back to what I was saying before, you hope that when kids are in the gym that they're visualizing and put themselves in those situations and they have a routine that they can go to. But, so it goes both ways, I guess, in terms of, what kids are doing, what players are doing, period, when they're in the gym, when they're at the sideline, and then that transformation to when it really matters.
Yeah, I love that word visualizing and visualization, because at one point I was a tremendous golfer, and now I'm not very good, but I still visualize knocking the ball in the hole every shot.
Absolutely, you have to, especially with that game.
Yeah, you're right there. Hey, Mako, who's going to blossom for your team this year? And I know, obviously, you want every single player to blossom, but who's some people that you get a lot of people watching your games, and now because of this show, they're going to pay a lot more attention. Who's some players that people need to watch that play for you?
Well, we really hope we get a big year from J.J. Lacy. He's he's our returning start for me for 2 years. He's our returning leader in just about every category. He's a kid who was playing you know, as good as any player, you know, during the last 8 or 10 games of our conference play in our league. And so we really hope that he takes the next step and really asserts himself as a difference maker. I have a couple of sophomores who started games for me last year, and Jonathan Dow and Thomas Rico, who are both really good. And Jonathan, you know, again, I think he's one of the elite young guards in our conference, who, you know, once he puts it all together consistently, is going to be, I think, a really, really good player. And then we have some freshmen who are doing a really good job for us. Obviously, we have a lot of new guys and a lot of young guys, so there's different days where they're standing out. But a kid, a local kid, an Oregon kid by the name of Mason Green Richards, who starred at South Eugene High School and was a big part of their team. Last year, I made a run to the semifinals at Oregon's 6A high school state tournament. You know, he's done a really good job for us early on in the year. He's a very skilled kid, very smart kid. So we're really excited about him. So, you know, we have a lot of new faces, though, Greg. So right now we're just still trying to get them to figure out how to be consistent in everything that they do. But hopefully there'll be a time here where there's some separation and some of these guys, you know, start playing at a high level on a regular basis.
Mako, talk a little bit about who helps you with your team. And I know that head coaches never forget the assistants, but they're kind of the forgotten people in basketball.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, you got to have a good staff to get things done. We've actually kind of had some turnover there the last couple of years. So this year we kind of changed it up a little bit. And I just have one assistant coach this year, his name is Jamal McKenzie. He actually was with me at Union. He's been with me since we won the state title in 2010 and came with me to George Fox. And he's just, you know, he's a great, great friend and does a tremendous job. I mean, he knows our system well. He's great with our players. Just does a really good job. And so basically, you know, just decided this year was a really pivotal year, I felt like, in terms of where we're going with this program. And we wanted to have some consistency. So we you know, in the last couple of years, we've had a three-man staff, and now it's kind of dwindled it down to two, which doesn't seem like a lot. But he and I really have a good rapport, and we have an idea of what we need to do to get this thing really rolling. And so that's what we're doing this year, and we'll expand on that. Our staff will grow over the next couple of years. But this year we had to kind of buckle down and get things going, and we just decided to go that route. And he does a tremendous job, and we have some, you know, people that support our program and help behind the scenes that do a really good job with other stuff, and those individuals, you know, obviously contribute to what we're doing as well.
Besides walking away with a W against Eastern Washington team, what's going to satisfy you when you walk out into that parking lot after that game?
You know, I just hope our kids compete. You know, obviously, Eastern's a great, you know, they're a great team. Obviously, coming off a great year last year when they made the NCAA tournament, and they have some key players back. And so, I mean, for us, the challenge is extremely, you know, tall. We understand that. But what I don't want our kids to do is to go in eyes wide and forget what we've been practicing for, you know, nearly 20 days and what we've really been trying to get better at. So I want to see our guys just compete, go out there and play physical, be tough, execute what we're doing to the best of their abilities. And then, you know, so when we walk out of that gym, we can be satisfied with the effort that we put forth and the way that we executed. And then, you know, whatever the scoreboard says, you know, we'll deal with that after the fact.
You know, officials work very hard at their game. They study films, they talk and everything. Mika, what do you kind of expect out of an official when he works your games? And I know all coaches do have expectations for officials as well as their players.
Yeah, a couple things. I mean, I expect, first of all, the guys to work hard and be in tune to the game and dialed in and focused just like coaches and players need to be. And then the second thing is I always have an expectation that they understand who they're officiating. You know, that's not to say that, you know, each team you officiate completely different because obviously you're playing the same game. But different teams have different styles. They have different tendencies and ways that they play. And so I do feel like it's important for officials to recognize that and understand that as they're going into the game, doing their homework just like, you know, we as coaches have to do our homework on our opponents and prepare our players. And then our players have to do their homework and, you know, being prepared for the opposition. You know, I think the officials are in the same boat as well.
You know, as you prepare for this and you've gone through your practice sessions, I think our listeners would like to know, Mako, is there an ideal, if you, and I know this is not always possible and it's something that doesn't get talked about much, is there an ideal practice time that you like to practice? Some coaches are going to these 6 a.m., some are going to mid-afternoon because of classes, others go the traditional 3 o'clock. What do you like there?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of in that late afternoon window because of classes, you know, to avoid conflicts with our kids. You know, I know some coaches do the morning thing, and it often will really show you who's tough on your team. But it's also something where, you know, you got to be able to function, and I think part of the recovery and taking care of your body, you know, you need rest. And so, you know, we kind of stick to that you know, late afternoon window, and it's good for us, and we can be consistent in that time. And so that's what we do. And we just go from there, and we feel like we get the best out of our kids, you know, from that standpoint.
Yeah, I think those three, I think that's the time to practice. Personally, John Calipari's good buddy, John Chaney, was at Temple, was really the first person who made a big deal about practicing earlier. But what he always failed to mention is he was the donut king of Philadelphia. And I, having spent a lot of time in Philadelphia, there are plenty of good donuts to eat at 6 a.m., so...
That's awesome.
Okay, take us out, Mako. Just an overall view of George Fox University, why it's an important part of the educational system, not only in the state of Oregon but on the West Coast, and then your basketball team. What you want to see come March?
Well, we have a great university. It's growing in terms of the enrollment. We've had record number of enrollment the last 3 years, so there's a great vibe about the university. It's a great community feel. Students are valued there. They're not just bodies; they're valued as human beings and as people. And you get a great education. It's one of the top, 200 or so private schools in our nation. It's one of the top Christian universities in the country. We have great academic programs. Great connections into the professional world. So not only are students being prepared to be successful when they leave, but they're also getting opportunities. And I think that's what every kid would want, you know, when they make that jump to college, because it's an investment. And then for our basketball program, you know, our goal is just to reach our potential, whatever that may be. We want to be able to get to that point. We don't place a lot at this time of year on setting goals in terms of how many games we're going to win or lose, or what type of things we're going to attain coming into the season. Those things are kind of, you know, those things are byproducts of other great things. And so what we're trying to do is be the best that we can be on a daily basis. We want our kids to model the things that our program stands for. And we want them working hard. And we feel like if we give our best effort every day in terms of our preparation, in terms of our competitive spirit, and if we just continue to exhibit a passion for the game of basketball, we'll reach that. We'll reach that potential. And you know, obviously, you know, every coach wants to be playing on the last possible day in March, and we're no different. But we also realize that the season is a long season, and you have to really focus on the journey and then allow the destination to get here when it does. And so that's our approach, and that's how we will continue to go by.
Great job tonight, Mako. It's a pleasure to know you. Keep up the great work. You're a great human being. A credit to basketball. And I know a lot of people, after being on this program, we had a huge listenership tonight. They're going to be following George Fox basketball closely.
Well, I appreciate it again, Greg. It's always good to talk to you. And go Bruins.
Absolutely. And we'll talk to you again very soon. And if, you know, somebody wants to listen to this program, listeners out there, tell them they can listen to it anytime. It's podcasted forever on this show. Thank you, Mako Hamilton. Thank you, listeners. Have a great week, everybody. And don't forget to make all your free throws, especially let's get it up over 70%. Good night, everyone.